appreciate you being here tonight. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. I circled these words in my Bible this afternoon, or else. I'm telling you, this is strong language.
Yeah.
Or else. You ought to underline that or circle it in your Bible. When you feel your heart may be growing a little bit cold, your love for the Lord, the embers dying down some in your life, you ought to think about the or else. I'm going to read the rest of this, but I'm trying to mind the Lord. I believe Samson if he were here tonight, he would say, I wish I paid attention to that or else.
Yeah.
Remember what the Bible said? The Bible said he got up like he did at other times and he shook himself. The Word of God said he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, or the Lord had departed from him. How sad. I believe Solomon would be another one tonight. After he went after the strange wives and their strange gods, got off to a real good start. But he met those two words, or else. I say this humbly tonight. I hope none of our families have to meet those two words, or else. I hope our church as a whole never has to meet those two words, or else. I hope that none of our teenagers ever have to meet those two words, or else. But they're there. They're there for a warning. God is saying that, you know, we need to remember. We need to repent. We need to return. We need to repeat. Or else, I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we're grateful for the privilege to read the Bible, the privilege, Lord, to preach the Bible, the privilege, Lord, to have ears to hear, not just with a natural hearing, but with a spiritual hearing. Lord, I think it was maybe Amos that said there was a famine in the land for the hearing of the Word of God. God, how we need to hear your Word. Lord, how we need to heed your Word. How we need to hide your Word, Lord, in our hearts and in our lives. I pray, Father, tonight that, Lord, that we would receive the admonition from the Scripture. And God, tonight, that we would be very, very careful in our homes, in our lives, in our church. And God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I didn't know that I would be coming back to this tonight, but I do believe it's of the Lord. This morning we were talking about the subject John wrote. We spent several messages and concerning what John saw. And the Bible said here, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write. Writing to the church. John tells the church some things that they probably didn't want to hear. But when you get down to the reality that we talked about this morning, they needed to hear. I thank the Lord that my mom didn't always tell me what I wanted to hear. But there were times in my life when she told me what I needed to hear. I thank the Lord for my dad that didn't always tell me what I wanted to hear. But he told me at times what I needed to hear. I thank God for the preachers that I've sat under in my Christian experience that didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. I probably wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for an old-fashioned man of God that told me what I needed to hear. Amen. And so tonight, what I'd like to do is pick up on the thought. John writes this morning, we said, with a degree of reliability, he was completely relied on the source for the letter, what he wrote, and that was Jesus. He wrote with reality in mind. We said this morning, this church, without a doubt, it had a lot of things right, but the main thing was wrong. By the way, I'm going to tell you something right now. You can't always judge a church by the external. Things can look great and not be great. And there can also be a time when things don't look so great. But if there's a people that's in love with Jesus, you can mark her down. Coming down the road will be Jesus right on time. Amen. I believe there were times in the early church that the persecution was so severe that if you looked from the outside in, you'd say, man, they're a bunch of fools. Why don't they just cave in? Why don't they just throw in the towel? Why would they want to suffer such persecution? And the fact is that they love the Lord. In the fight, evidently the church at Ephesus had grown a little weary and were doing what they were doing more so out of duty than love. More so out of duty than delight. We talked about the remedy, how that John this morning, he wrote with the remedy. I just have a couple of simple thoughts tonight on my heart, and I want to share them with you. This or else right here. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of his place. You remember what I said about Samson? That happened quickly. That happened in one evening, in one night. Delilah cut his hair. And he woke up the next day and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he went out and he shook himself. How quickly things changed. In one chapter, I believe it's Judges chapter 16, Samson starts out on the top of the hill. He ends up on the bottom at the mill, grinding with his eyes gouged out because of this lukewarmness and this love that had been left. I want to give you two little phrases tonight. First of all, there will be a reversal or there will be a removal. We'll either, if we grow cold in our first love, we'll either have to reverse course or the candlestick. Listen, let me say this plainly and carefully. This is not talking about anybody losing their salvation. What this is talking about is an individual or a people, a church, losing their influence in the world. When the love dies out and gets dim, the light dies out and gets dim. And God wants us to keep the love red hot so that the light may be bright in the house of God, in our homes, and in our country that we live. The Bible said here, or else I will come unto thee, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Something that I did not mention this morning that I would like to mention tonight, and I would to God that I would have learned this in parenting a long time ago. That Jesus is addressing some negative things here with the church, but he addressed the positive first. That's a lesson that every parent, when it comes time to deal with a child, ought to think about. Set them down. Let them know the things you appreciate. Let them know the things that they're doing right. And then when something needs to be corrected, go from there. I thought Jesus set a great example for us as parents there, as the shepherd that cared for his sheep at Ephesus. And so he commends them before he corrects them. And I thought that was wonderful. Somebody said, well, it's hard sometimes to find something right in some people's life. Another man said, well, even a clock that doesn't run is right twice a day. Think about that. Amen. I think sometimes it's what we're looking for, isn't it? Amen. And so the Lord sees the things that are right and the things that are be commended in the church at Ephesus. And then he comments on those before he deals with that, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. This morning I shared some things with you from a list. Tonight I want to go back in this or else, because this morning I just kind of shared the highlight, but tonight I want to share in the list as well the scripture. Several things that indicate you're wandering from your first love. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Just after this morning, is there anybody at least somewhere in your life can see that you wandered from your first love? Help me tonight. Listen to what the list and the scriptures. When you delight in someone else more than you delight in the Lord. You know what? I sat there tonight with my granddaughter on my lap. And anybody that's been around me and Olivia knows that it's not a duty to be a papaw to that girl. It is an absolute pure delight. But if I was to delight in her more than I delight in him, I'm wrong. Is that right or is that not right? Brother Jimmy Rose would say, amen or not. Amen. You delight in someone else, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Your soul does not long for times of rich fellowship in God's word or prayer. Our relationship with God deepens as we spend time with him in his word and commune with him in prayer. You're indicating that you're wandering from your first love, myself as well, if our thoughts and our leisure moments do not honor the Lord. Somebody said, idle hands are the devil's workshop. I'll just throw this one in there free of charge. An idle mind is too. Somebody help me tonight. That mind gets idle, buddy. There's no telling what'll pass through it. Listen to what the Bible said. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These will help us to maintain that first love in our life. Number four, several things that indicate you're wandering from your first love. You make excuses for doing things that displease the Lord. Claiming things like, well, I'm only human. The Bible said, as our good shepherd, he leads us in paths of righteousness. There's no excuse for disobedience, really, because he said in every temptation, he would make us a way of escape. Is that right or is that wrong? There's no excuse. I'll tell you where the excuses will go down the tubes. You mark this down at the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody gonna stand up there and say, well, Lord, I tell you, I guarantee it. We'll hush. We will stand it all. There'll be no excuses. When you do not willingly or cheerfully give to God's work or to the needs of others, the Bible said God so loved the world, he gave. And the Bible said he loveth a cheerful giver. When you treat others, you cease to treat others as you would treat the Lord. The Bible said a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you. Love one another. Love one another. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment from God. I believe it's important, don't you? When we cease to treat others. Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. When you view Christ's commands as restrictions to your happiness. I mentioned this morning when I was a teenager. I mentioned that my dad, he had some restrictions in my life. And I thought, he just don't want me to have fun. I went to my first cousin's house and man, he had Led Zeppelin. Some of y'all don't even know who that is. You didn't miss anything, I promise you. Black lights, rock and roll posters, strobe lights. His room was painted flat black. I came home and I said, Dad, I want to paint my bedroom. You do, son. What color? I said, black. He said, I don't think so. It wasn't open for discussion. And I thought Dad was restricting me. And I believe sometimes God's people, when they hear the preacher, when they read the Word of God, they think, God's just keeping me back. No, what God's doing is keeping us from the evil. Because he knows what's best for us. I can remember my daughter when she was little. We heated the home with a wood stove. And we taught her the word hot. No, no, hot. No, no, hot. And she just had to find out for herself. Miss Eve and I were in the kitchen and we heard a squall. And the end of that finger was blistered. She wouldn't take Mom's word for it. She wouldn't take Dad's word for it. She had to reach out there and touch it and find out for herself. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We'll save ourselves a lot of trouble. We'll just take God's word for it. If God said it's not good for us, then we need to stay away from it. Amen. The restrictions, when we view the restrictions, God's commands as restrictions to our happiness, rather than expressions of his love. He that hath my commandments, he said, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me loveth my Father also. Yeah. When you strive for affirmation from the world, rather than approval from the Lord. What's that mean, preacher? That means that you come to a place in your life when you know something's not exactly right, but you go on in it in order to fit in with the people around you. You want their approval more than you want God's approval. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That text used to be preached a lot. You never even hear it read anymore. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. By the way, that's the reason that so many marriages are ending up in divorce court, because they weren't based on the right thing to start with. It's more than the external. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. When you fail to make Christ and his words known because of fear of rejection, you're leaving or have left that first love. Jesus said, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. We ought to be like the writer in Hebrews. We ought to say, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I bring up this illustration. I heard it years ago. It really happened. And it left a mark when I heard the youth pastor. When I heard him tell this, it just left a mark in my life. I go back to the high school where I went to high school, and there would be five, sometimes six, maybe sometimes seven, not very many, in a high school of over 2,000 kids. They would gather around the flagpole early in the morning before the classes started. And they would gather around. And I'm being honest with you. I knew they had something I needed. But Brother Ralph, I didn't have Jesus living in my heart. And I knew if I was to step into that circle, this is where the world's messed up. I knew if I was going to step into that circle, I was going to have to step out of the circle I was in. And I'd rather be popular in the circle I was in than be right with God in the circle that they were in. But I tell you what, them youngins praying, I wonder sometimes if some of them didn't call my name. I wish God let them know, amen. I hope God let them know that God heard their prayer, that it wasn't all in vain. I've listened to the sneers. I've listened to the mocking about that crowd. That youth pastor told the story about a young lady they had put pressure on, one after another after another, had lost their purity, and they were proud of it. And they put pressure on this young lady, and finally were mocking her and persecuting her in the restroom one day. Had her backed up in the corner, 8 or 10 of them. And the way that she came out of the corner was like this. She looked at them and said, listen to me. I can be what you are anytime I want to be, but you can never be what I am again. That's serious. There's some things you can't reverse. You can get forgiveness, yes, but you can't reverse it. The Bible tells us when we're failing to make Christ and his words known because of the fear of rejection, we've left our first love. When you refuse, by the way, I just want to say this. I don't know the man's life real well. I'm trying to remember his name now. Johnny, you might have to help me. He's a football player, and he made it to the pros, but he just didn't go. It was a quarterback. Christian testimony. What's his name, Brother Steve? You know who I'm talking about? Who? Yes, Tim. Tim Tebow. That's exactly right. But I tell you what, every time his name comes up, and every time, I tell you what, he could be down in the dumps. He could, but man, he's just always bragging on the Lord. And I'm just giving you my personal opinion. I believe he was just a little bit too red hot for Jesus. Somebody help me tonight to fit in that circle. You fail to make Christ and his words known because of the fear of rejection. When you refuse to give up an activity that you know is offending a weaker brother. Listen to what the Bible said. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy him not with thy meat, for whom Christ died. I'll just say this. When we stick our chest out and we get this attitude, it's my life, it's my business, we've left our first love. Because it's not my life, it belongs to him. It's not my business, it's his. And when I cause a weaker brother or a weaker sister to stumble with my life, I have left my first love. By the way, we're kind of acting like the devil. Was it in the book of Ezekiel? I'm not sure. I can't remember where it is. Where I will exalt my throne above thy throne. Is that Ezekiel? It is Ezekiel, Brother Brian. We get to acting like him in pride. That's how he fell. In his pride. When you become complacent towards sinful conditions around you. The Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I thought about something as I read that just now. When you become complacent toward the sinful conditions around you. My pastor's name was Brother Hubert Wishon. His daddy, I think I've told you this before, was Woodrow Wishon, an old time mountain preacher. Stand on the altar like this, the top of the steps, get to preaching, and he'd get excited, and he'd be doing this, and he didn't know it. He'd be wadding his, I'm going to tell you what, when his pants leg come up over his socks, he was fixing to get in the glory land, I'm telling you. He wasn't trying to be immodest, he was just preaching and so excited while he was preaching. Brother Bud took his daddy Woodrow to the airport in Atlanta to pick up Brother Bud's son-in-law. Joe Arthur married Brother Wishon's daughter, Julie. It was Julie and Joy. And he married Julie, so they were going to pick up Brother Joe at the Atlanta airport. This was years ago. And there was two men walking down the concourse of that airport, holding hands, and all over each other. And Brother Woodrow Wishon, he didn't have a TV. Never in his life did he have a TV. He bursted out in the middle of that airport. He said, "Son, did you see that?" It was a shock to him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when we become complacent towards the sinful conditions around us, when we say, "Well, it's just Budweiser. Well, it's just pot." When we become complacent, how many believes if we stay close to the Lord, we'll love what he loves? Yeah. Listen to me carefully. I'll get into this a little bit later. But we'll also hate what he hates. In this next verse I'm going to read here, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, the Bible said he hated them. The fear of the Lord, the Bible said, I'm not sure chapter and verse, but it's in there. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's what it is. When you're unwilling to forgive others. If a man say, "I love God and hate his brother," he's a liar. Those are just some indications that we've left our first love. There needs to be a reversal or there'll be a removal. Let me give you this. I don't know where the times went this evening. Let me give you this and I'm done. The second thing that I wrote down, if you look at verse number 6, the Bible said, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans." I'm not going to go into all of this, but if you go to Acts chapter 6, there was Nicholas, who was a proselyte of Antioch among those deacons. He was not of the pure Hebrew blood the way that the other deacons were. He had come out of the paganism. He'd come out of the occult. He actually had to experience at least two conversions. He went from the occult to Judaism, and then from Judaism to Christianity. There's two things going on here with the deeds of the Nicolaitans. One, you can read about it in your Scofield Bible, where it makes a difference between the pulpit and the pew, the clergy and the laity. Higher ups and lower downs. I tell you, in God's family, I don't believe there are any big I's and little U's. But then the other thing that's going on is these deeds. He had come from pagan roots, so he no doubt had begun to compromise at times and just go the way the wind was blowing. And God said he hated it. I want to say this tonight. I believe there are a lot of churches in our land that are just going the way the wind's blowing. I just want to say this tonight. I believe it's all right to go the way the wind's blowing as long as it's the Holy Ghost that's the wind. But the wind of the world is not going to help God's people. And so what I see in verse number 6 are deeds, the deeds. But I want you to see something a little bit later. Look at verse number... I got to find it. I believe it was over here. Where the deeds became a doctrine. Look at verse 15. He's talking here to the church at Pergamos. He said, "So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine." Wait a minute now. Do you see the progression? The deeds were hated at Ephesus. The same deeds that were hated at Ephesus had become a doctrine at Pergamos. That's dangerous. When you begin to tolerate the deeds, if you're not careful. And by the way, and that's exactly what's going on in the bathroom situation in America. We began to tolerate the deeds. I never thought of that till just now. And now there are some that would like for you and I to believe that that's just the doctrine. That's the way it is. Tonight, our Lord would say, or else, we need to be very careful of that or else. I'm going to give you something tonight and I'm done. I believe that you find when you study history that this church at Ephesus, and many other churches in that Asia Minor, which is Turkey today, they lost their sphere of effectiveness, their ability to witness for the Lord. And if you look at it today, there's no church at Ephesus where I'm reading about right here. Thousands every year. Thousands of churches, they just disappear from off the scene. It started with a little compromise here and a little compromise there and a little compromise here. Yeah. I'll say this again. I've said it before in this church, that there are those that have bought into the idea that in order to win them, you got to be like them. That's nowhere taught in Scripture. Nowhere is that taught in Scripture. As a matter of fact, he told us to come out from among them and be a separate people, saith the Lord. Tonight, thousands of churches disappear. Where there's no love, there's no light. I want to give you something the Lord put on my heart as I thought about this thought. Here's what ought to be our prayer and our practice. That when this church disappears, it'll be in the rapture. It'll be when our Lord says, come up hither. But may we stand. Stand firm and stand strong. Not on the deeds and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, but on the doctrine of the Word of God. Some people, I think, and I say this kindly, I think it happens in ignorance sometimes, but they will make a statement like, doctrine is not important. I beg your pardon. What the Bible teaches is very important. We're to have sound doctrine. How do you know it's sound, preacher? If it lines up with the Word of God. Give you one more little thing here, just very small. What does it mean? Look at verse number 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I want everybody, if you don't get anything else out of this message, get this. It's stuck in my heart. What is an overcomer in light of this scripture? It is someone who does not let duty, D-U-T-Y, duty for the Savior, move them away from devotion to the Savior. When we're able to do what we do with the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. I believe if we would examine our lives, we could all say, yeah, I may be wrong, but there have been times when we went on and did the right thing out of duty. But there was very little devotion. Let me bring this home. There are times in a marriage if you're not very careful to be doing the right thing just out of duty. And it is a duty. When you say I do, that means something. You didn't say that to the preacher. You said that to God. Amen. But nowhere is it to be found that you can't do both. Do the right thing, the right way, with the right motive, out of love for the Lord. We see, or else, there's a reversal or there's a removal. We see that the deeds later became doctrine. Tonight, let's be careful. I remember the message the Lord gave me, and I'm not going to go back and rehash that tonight. I've preached it in prison. I taught it to the teenagers one night. But as Samson started down, 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 that first step, I believe it had to do with his surroundings. I can't remember the words now. what was going on around him, it would have been easier just to get out of that. But as he went down and down and down and down, the more difficult it became to get back to where he started in that chapter. And then ultimately, it became impossible for him to get back. What's the point in saying that, preacher? Let's not wait till our heart's ice cold. If we sense a little coldness or we sense a little distance, let's do something about it then. Let's run to the Lord. He will abundantly pardon. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. Father in heaven, we're grateful for the lessons that you've taught us from this church at Ephesus. And Lord, I know, Lord, I believe it was in the 1960s, this church was founded. Been here quite a few years, Lord. Lord, you've done a great work in this place. God, I'm asking you tonight to continue that work. Help us to realize, our Father, that without you we can do nothing. But Lord, with you there's nothing we can't do. I pray, God, you'll keep your hand on our church, our families. Lord, I have one family on my heart in particular I thought would be back this morning. I didn't see them. Lord, I'm burdened. God, I just pray that you'd help us. When we begin to get a little bit cold, a little bit indifferent, to return, repent, repeat, do the first works, Lord. It all starts with remembering. God, I pray tonight that each one of us would have a love, not that's lukewarm, but a love that's red hot. I can remember, Lord, a few years back, when you put that little thought on my heart, keep the fire burning. God, I pray you'd help us at Bible Way to keep the fire burning. Lord, the world's trying to pour water on the fire. The flesh is trying to pour water on the fire. Our enemy, the devil, is trying to pour water on the fire. Lord, by the grace of God, we want to keep the fire burning. Lord, the fuel for the fire will be found in prayer. It'll be found in your word. It'll be found in obedience to your will. Lord, we ask you to help us. God, those that are here tonight that are unsaved, I pray those two words would ring in their ears, or else. Lord, people will be saved, or else they'll burn in hell forever and ever. I pray, God, they would remember those words. I pray, Lord, you would deal in hearts.